Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I got a speeding ticket in the mail yesterday.
In the mail?
Yeah. I think I'm going to just ignore it.
It's Mike Shope.
Where was this?
Spain.
And the Bulldog.
I think if I just lay low, I think I'll get away with it.
Not mention it on the air?
Definitely don't want to talk about it on the air.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I like the sound of this more and more as we go. I'm an outlaw.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just reading a post about Belichick. Who's worse? Who's, like, really never going to leave our lives, Belichick or Brady? Who is really never going away?
Wow.
They're both insistent on it. What about Bob? You open the door. He's never gone. He's still standing right there at the door. He knows you're going to open it and let him in and have him sit down at your table and have mashed potatoes and gravy. You know that's coming. Mike Giardi, I don't know. Boston Sports Journal. Mike, maybe you thought, oh, I'm looking forward to the day Belichick, who was always hostile with the media, not always, but, you know, his reputation.
Yeah, mostly always.
Mostly hostile. I'm looking forward to sort of moving away.
Maybe
moving away.
The only times he wasn't hostile is if someone framed just the exact right question about the development of special teams coaches or something, and then he would give you 18 minutes on just that, and then everyone else in the room would be, like, hating the guy that asked that question or girl. Right? Did I have that right, Mike?
Yeah, nobody loved the filibuster more than Belichick. You know, like, he would know that when they send out the transcript, he kind of wants so many words in there, so there'd be like seven straight answers that were like one sentence long, and then somebody would give him that gift. And yes, that whoever that somebody was always got the dirty looks, and then he would go for 4.5 minutes on that. So then when you look at the transcript, man, he talked a lot today. No, he just talked about left-footed punters against the wind in December. Like, that's what he did, and the person who asked that question can rot, and he can also rot for doing us like that. So yeah, no, I was hoping, like you guys are saying, I was hoping that time spent talking about Bill Belichick would be, you know, hey, when he comes back for, you know, Patriots Hall of Fame, whenever that happens, or when he gets into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But, like, I was done with him. I'm good. Like, awesome run. You know, it was time to change. And now here he is. You know, every day there's something new. And it's pretty remarkable.
Probably short-sighted on my part that I wasn't thinking we'd really get into any of this. But
my fault.
There must be theories around Boston, especially, about what is exactly happening here, because it all seems optically kind of weird.
Well, I was on TV last night, and there was a good point made by one of the other co-hosts who said, this is, like, because I was like, where's the Belichick that I knew? And he's like, no, this is the Belichick you knew for the last 5 years. Not the guy you knew for the first 20, but the guy for the last five, the guy who decided, I only want to coach players that I like, the guy that would surround himself with yes men, who would install Matt Patricia and Joe Judge as his offensive coordinators, you know, that wouldn't mention his quarterback's name, Mac Jones, by name for like 8 months, like legitimately just wouldn't say his name. So that sort of kind of and the unwillingness, even though I think there's a chapter in the book called Where I Effed Up, really the unwillingness to say that I effed up in any sort of public setting. So it's I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, like if he wins at North Carolina, maybe this doesn't, you know, sort of leave a little mark on his legacy, but maybe it does. Well, I guess we'll have to find out.
He goes into those, you know, different NFL media shows and the bar is just so low. And then he comes on and he says kind of obvious things and everybody's like, oh my God, he's amazing. Belichick. He's 73. The girlfriend's 24, Jordan. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of on the SNL 50th anniversary where they had Paul Simon and Sabrina Carpenter sing together. Paul Simon says, I sang Homeward Bound. I sang this song on the stage with George Harrison in 1976. And Sabrina Carpenter says, I wasn't born then. And neither were my parents. Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mike, thanks for indulging us on Belichick here. The Patriots draft. So didn't end up being any sort of surprise. Will Campbell, offensive tackle up top. You get to a running back there in round two. That's interesting. How do you think they did overall?
So I think people are going nuts about it, in both locally and nationally. I think it's like A pluses and A's across the board. I kind of look at it as it's a good draft. I would not to be like a contrarian. I just think it's like a B to me. Like, you know, they for the third time in 5 years, they drafted a kicker. That was late in the draft. They drafted a long snapper. When they're a long snapper, granted, he's a Belichick guy, and they've clearly gotten rid of all the Belichick guys, basically. But he still could play football, and they drafted and they just cut him, you know. So now they drafted a long snapper, and they boxed themselves into a corner. So one of the reasons I would say it's a B is because they wanted Ronnie Stanley from Baltimore. Ronnie Stanley didn't technically get the free agency, right? He stayed with Baltimore, but that was their plan. That's what they wanted. They were going to dump a ton of money in him and a ton of money in Chris Godwin, and neither one of those guys ended up leaving their places. And so, you know, they pivoted to Stephon Diggs, obviously, coming off the ACL, got him on a nice, what's essentially a one-year deal. But then when it came to the draft, they were backed into a corner at four. Instead of being in a place where you could take the best available player, even if that guy was on defense, where you spent a lot of your free agent money, they were kind of married now to the idea of you got to take a tackle because you don't have one. You can't go through this upcoming year with the Vedarian Lowe, DeMontre Jacobs. Like they just can't do that if they want to keep their quarterback healthy. And so that's where, to me, if Will Campbell ends up being a guard, which is very possible, or just an average tackle, then it's like, well, it could have been better because you don't often pick at four. And when you do, you don't want average. You want all-pro, Pro Bowl-type caliber players. Maybe he can be that, but it's a stretch.
Would they have been picking third if Joe Milton hadn't played out of his head against the Bills in Week 18?
I think they would have been picking first if my memory
Yes.
So, I mean,
they blew the first pick by winning that game.
Yes. And I would say that I think Sean McDermott deserves a ton of credit for one of his best coaching jobs. He refused to let the Bills win that football game.
Right.
Punting from the 30-yard line, their 30-yard line, like it was a piece de resistance. And I think Sean is probably still smiling about preventing the Patriots from being in control of the draft.
What was the Milton trade, by the way? I can understand like not wanting him around for May's sake and just sort of not having that sort of over his shoulder, but they gave him away, Mike.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one, right? Like Joe's not lacking confidence, and I think there was a feeling inside the building even throughout last year that Joe thought he should have been given a better shot at winning the job, which, you know, is, I would say, you're lacking awareness in that regard.
Yeah.
And I think Mike basically came in, Vrabel came in and was like, nah, we're you know, clearing the decks. You're gone. See you later. You know, we'll attach a 7 to you. We'll move up whatever it was, 18 spots in the draft from where we drafted you last year, and we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Well, so the first pick here, Campbell, is scoring, it seems, very highly for his comments about being willing to die for his quarterback or whatever, however he said it. The pick, the concern with him was arm length and wingspan. How is that going over, and how real is that concern, and what has Vrabel done to sort of try to quell it?
I mean, they basically just said, like, why would we look at him at any other position? He played left tackle in the best conference in college football from the moment he walked on campus as an 18-year-old and was a, you know, All-American, consensus All-American this year, All-Conference, all these different things. Like, he's going to be the left tackle. And I don't expect them to say, like, hey, look, you know, if it doesn't go that well, we'll kick him into guard where we think he could be awesome too. It's, no, he's our guy. You watch the tape. That's how they've answered it. You know, you, well, what do you think about the wingspan? Well, watch the tape. The tape doesn't lie. He kept his quarterback clean. And there will people, there'll be people in the league that have told me that if you watch the tape, you actually see some of his problems with length. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to get any easier on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays and whatever god other name days that they play on now in the NFL, where it's like, this is going to be a problem. One of the things he does, it was pointed out to me very early on in the process, like in November, when he figured, like, okay, this is the supposed to be the best guy. It's like he oversets. He oversets because he struggles with the arm length to reach when a guy goes for his outside shoulder. So he oversets to prevent that from happening. And then what that does is it opens the front door. You know, mm-hmm. Got cross over his face and beat him that way. Again, good recovery speed, like didn't give up a ton of sacks or whatever, but like it's there. And now we'll see if guys can exploit it. Chris Long, who played in the league for 10 years, and he was a former Patriot for a year or two and still has nothing but great things to say about New England, was like, oh, we know it as defensive linemen. Like, that's going to be a problem for him. So can he be the exception, or is he going to be the rule and either be average or, again, kick inside?
Mike Giardi, our guest on the Western Hotline from the Boston Sports Journal. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. How do you feel about the Diggs move, Mike? And do you happen to know what the timetable is for him?
Well, they continue to float the idea that he could be ready for week one, which I think, I mean, look, he puts out his social media videos. He's doing all kinds of stuff. Who knows if he's actually ready? Kendrick Bourne, who went through the same thing a year ago, obviously not the same level of player that Stephon is, and it took him 5 weeks to get back, you know, week five of the regular season, I think it was. So I think that's probably more likely the scenario, but they haven't shot it down that he won't be ready for week one. And I look, based on what happened, because they were going to throw the bag at Godwin, or they did, and he just didn't leave. And what else was out there in free agency? And, you know, it's kicked around in trade. They tried to trade for Ayuk, and he didn't want to come here last year. And they were in on Metcalf, but not willing to go that far. And apparently Metcalf might have told them, like Ayuk did last year, I'm not really interested in coming there, that this was probably the best option, you know, where, again, the contract looks really bloated from the outside, but on the inside, it's a one-year deal, you know. And if he returns to form, it's a hell of a one-year deal. And if he doesn't, well, you had a ton of money to spend, and, you know, you took a shot, and it didn't work. So I think they needed to do something. It's the room there is better now, although it's still not good, but it's like they have upgraded with Mac Hollins, you know, now drafting Kyle Williams in the third round, that there's going to be better competition. Again, might not be high-end competition, but better, so that should be at least an improvement from where they've been the last couple of years at that position.
Hollins skipping there from here was kind of interesting. There's one theory that after leading the Bills in touchdown catches in a Josh Allen MVP season with five, that he wanted to maybe play again, like a full-time wide receiver role as opposed to special teams. I'm not sure if the Bills, you know, wouldn't have given him that, but the theory goes that New England will give him that. Is that maybe your thought too, that he's not going to be special teamer Mac Hollins anymore?
I think he'll get more of an opportunity, but again, they just drafted Williams, who a lot of people rave about, and he's more of an X, even though he's not, you know, he's not the prototypical 6'2", 6'3" X. He's a 5'11"-ish guy, but he has ridiculous speed, and there's something that this offense has desperately needed. It's speed. So, you know, if Williams is one of the rare receivers here in New England that catches on quickly, because they don't have a history of that, then, you know, I could see Mac not necessarily loving being a part-timer and, you know, being a special teamer. But, again, they're not paying him a lot of money, so it's whatever, you know.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on last year's wide receiver class, and the Patriots ended up with two guys that we were pretty familiar with from just talking to draft people through last March and April leading up to the draft. Polk, a second-round pick last year, and Javon Baker, a fourth-round pick. Now with Diggs and Hollins and Pop Douglas and Boutte and Bourne still there, drafting Kyle Williams, man, those guys might be already in trouble going into year two.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that Polk is safe just because he was a second rounder, and Elliott Wolf, the guy that drafted him, so he's still here, you know, and has, mm-hmm. you know, he's still the quote-unquote general manager. or that's not the title he has, but you know what I mean. But I think Baker's, in, you know, he couldn't get on the field last year. He couldn't learn the playbook. He was late. Every time it seemed like they were willing to give him an opportunity, he did something to screw it up. And so, you know, they say clean slate, you know, new staff, clean mm-hmm. slate. Well, not really. You know, he's probably got two strikes against him, and if he does anything stupid, that'll be that. He's talented. There's no question. I mean, you guys heard it. He definitely has skills, but lack of maturity, inability to figure out the playbook, like, pretty much doomed him. And Polk had off-season shoulder surgery, so there's some people wondering if that was why he had problems catching the ball last year or whatever, but I just think he was overwhelmed last season, and I wouldn't say I have great hopes for him going forward,
yeah.
But I would just say that, you know, as a second-round guy, maybe you can, you know, like Booty was nothing in his first year and then ended up having to, you know, basically not come off the field last year because they didn't have anybody and had an okay year. So maybe Polk can find his way on the field a little bit more and carve himself out some sort of role.
It is interesting, Stark, when a player drafted that early just gets kind of 1 year of it and that's about it. So, yeah, like you said, I would think they'd give him at least some chance of redemption. Mike, what did you think of the Henderson pick, Travion Henderson, a name that was sometimes talked about as a first rounder, but he's a running back, so it can't be a shock that he didn't get picked that early. Three downs? No, I mean, he's got the pass catching juice. Maybe he's a third down back in the beginning with Henderson, or what do you predict?
Stevenson. I mocked him there at one point during this offseason, or whatever, a couple weeks ago, because I just thought that they were so desperate for playmakers that even though running back isn't a primary area of need, that might be just, hey, if he's there and this is how our board fell, we're just going to do it. As for whether or not he's a three-down back, I know they said it after the draft. I would just say he missed three games in 2022 at Ohio State, five in 2023, and then last year when he was splitting time with Quinshon Judkins, he made it through all 16. So to me, his body says his talent says I'm a three-down back. His body says I'm best when I'm used in a committee, and maybe I'm a 12 to 15 touch guy, and that's probably with Stevenson and Gibson on the roster. That's probably the best thing for him, at least early on.
Yeah, you talked about what you think maybe the new coaching staff will think of certain players. What do you think they think of Stevenson?
That he's overpaid.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I think they like the bully nature of him, but it's now been 2 years in a row. You know, he had the great rookie. Well, great. He had a very good rookie year, a very promising rookie year.
Yeah.
And then he was outplayed 2 years ago by Ezekiel Elliott. And then last year, Antonio Gibson was the better back, like, for pretty much the majority of the season. And they kept rolling with Ramondre. And near the end, maybe Gibson started to get some more touches. But that, I think, is, you know, like, I think they'd like the bully attitude that Ramondre brings. But between the ball security, some inability to stay healthy, you know, I wonder. You know, I don't know that they're going to be super loyal to him. If he puts the ball on the ground like he did last year, he could go away and not come back.
Flipping over to the other side of the ball, first thing that comes to my mind is what's the future for Christian Barmore? Very tough year last year, out for the first 10 weeks and then back, but then reoccurrence with the blood clots. Like, is there a way back for him, or is that known already?
So he's been working out. He is here in the voluntary part. They're on stage three now, the voluntary part of off-season workouts, and he has been here for that. I keep hearing sort of the cautious optimism about it. But no one's given us a real, like, well, we know what happened, like what caused it. Like, we haven't gotten that. So I can't, you know, I'm not a doctor either, but like, that's just sort of the vibe that we've been getting. Like, hey, he's hitting his checkpoints now. I know we had a doctor's appointment at the beginning of April, which I would assume allowed him to be here for OTAs and do all this stuff. So that's good. He's been kind of active on social media, comeback season loading, all that sort of stuff. So he must be feeling pretty good about where he stands right now. Look, if he's back and he's 85% of what he was 2 years ago, you know, that defense is going to be a handful. If he's not, they're still a little thin there. They drafted Joshua Farmer in the fourth round. Some people thought he was a third round guy, big physical kid from Florida State, really strong. Put him next to Milton Williams. But, you know, last year when Barmore went out, I mean, they were running up bodies and playing a ton of snaps, some guys that either didn't belong in the league, or, you know, like Daniel Akwale, who's now in Pittsburgh, played 60% of the snaps. Like, he's a 20% snap guy, you know, but that's what they're for. So I still think they're – if Barmore's not completely right, or if there's still concerns about that, I'd say they're still one body short on the inside.
Right. They did do a lot of work in free agency. I think maybe as many as five new starters, right up on defense here, with Milton Williams and Tonga on the defensive line, Landry as an edge guy, Spillane as a linebacker, and Carlton Davis corner, right?
Yeah, I mean, so I think they looked at the defense, and maybe that was more inexplainable than anything. Like, and look, they lost the spine of their defense between Barmore, then Bentley got hurt early in the year, and then Peppers went away for whatever it was, 2 months with the suspension, and then with the off-field allegations, and then came back and played like a game or two, and then was done for the year because of an injury. But I still think they look at that and say there was more talent on that defense to be as porous as they were. They were one of the worst defenses in football, and that, you know, free agency, they definitely were thinking offense and free agency. It just didn't work out that way. They made sure they got impact players at all three levels, or at least what they think are impact players at all three levels. And they should be, like, I don't know if they're a top 10 defense. I mean, maybe they are if Barmore is back to being Barmore, but they should be a lot more solid and shouldn't be a reason why they're losing some of these games that they did last year where they just couldn't stop a nosebleed.
Mike, just quickly before you go, the Bills went heavy on defense in this draft. You may have heard about the general manager of the team calling into our radio station earlier this week, and, you know, he was hot about some of the criticism leaving wide receiver, you know, pretty much off the table. The Bills might be a bigger favorite to win the division than ever this year, and they've won the last 5 years. Do you see it as that, or...
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
New England or someone else maybe could be dangerous.
I think New England has the potential to be a friskier team this year, but I don't, like, people here are talking playoffs, and I think a lot of things would have to go right for that to be the case. But it feels like New York took a step back. Not that they were good last year, but, like, I'm not a Justin Fields believer. They didn't do much to help that passing game there. And then I don't know what's going on with Miami. I mean, you're trading Jalen Ramsey, apparently. Somehow they're standing by Tyreek Hill, although I still think that that probably isn't true, and they might try to trade him as well. So it feels like they're almost due for a reset. Hey, we put all our chips on the table, and then, you know, we couldn't win a game, and when it was cold, we couldn't keep our quarterback healthy. So yeah, to me, the Bills are the clear favorite, like the clear favorite.
Have about a 3-game gap in the win total odds in that respect. All right, Mike, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, here on the West Hur Hotline. 803-0550 for your calls. Pretty eventful, interesting week, talking about the draft and then Brandon Bean also. And I told you I saw a mock draft for next year. There's at least one thing about it you're going to like.
All right.
What did we ask Chris Trapasso yesterday? When will you start? When is too early to check with him about mock drafts? Well, it isn't too early for at least one analyst. I'm not criticizing Chris, but just casually mentioning this one I saw today. Okay, time out here. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after sports on WGR.
This was probably the best option, you know, where, again, the contract looks really bloated from the outside, but on the inside, it's a one-year deal. If he returns to form, it's a hell of a one-year deal, and if he doesn't, well, you had a ton of money to spend, and you took a shot, and it didn't work. I think they needed to do something. Their room there is better now, although it's still not good, but it's like they have upgraded with Mac Hollins, you know, now drafting Kyle Williams in the third round, that there's going to be better competition. Again, might not be high-end competition, but better, so that should be at least an improvement from where they've been the last couple of years at that position.
Our guest from earlier, Mike Giardi of the Boston Sports Journal, on Stephon Diggs and the Patriots. We talked about Diggs for a minute before. Are you just kind of like all the way done?
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
It's not really an interesting storyline anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what, like, I never felt any juice on like an animosity end of things myself. When he was traded, I was more concerned about how it might impact the Bills, but from their standpoint, I understood it. If they thought he was declining, they might have been right. I mean, we'll see. I mean, he was doing all right in Houston before he got hurt, but now he's hurt. I always sort of felt this is very maybe mundane and boring, so I don't even know if it's worth saying.
Let me get a pen.
Like, thanks for coming. You were great. I would do this 100 times out of 100 over again. Even with the bumps and bruises and whatever, as rocky as it got at times. And then you went on your way. Like, thanks for coming. You had a very positive impact, I think, on the team and on Allen's growth. And maybe he on yours. I don't know. But, like, all good. I don't know. I never felt this sort of scorn or anything for him, myself. That I don't know if I'm lacking something. But that's why I didn't even really think, you know, I know we're going to talk to Mike Giardi today. And so we open up talking about the schedule and we're talking about the Patriots and you're right there with Diggs. I'm like, oh yeah, Diggs, I admit at that point I had not looked at their depth chart yet. I would have seen him right away. But it just wasn't top of mind to me that he was there. I don't, by saying that, think he's necessarily done. Guys do come back even at his age from that injury, and I always thought that if, you know, one of the reasons I wanted when he and Davis were maybe getting through year two of their time together, right? They were together for 4 seasons. So about halfway through, and I'm like, okay, well, boy, this guy looks to me like he's obviously elite, number one alpha kingpin dude. But if I'm going to keep him around, maybe that has to sort of morph into a slot role. And so even halfway through Davis and Diggs being here, as good as that was going, get another guy and groom that guy, whether that's a first-round pick or a third-round pick. Get another guy that you can sort of work and work toward becoming a replacement for Diggs, and you can bump him inside. And obviously that wasn't in the cards. So, but I was thinking about his career beyond his elite level of play. So he could still have that. I don't have much of a reaction to him, I guess. So I guess I'm done.
I don't really feel any of that animosity stuff either. I just have always, it's been a year, but liked it as a storyline. There was, I guess maybe it's been settled, last year, and Brandon Bean to Tyler Dunn, as I mentioned earlier, said at golongtd.com, he's like, I feel like questioning our wide receivers last year going into the season was reasonable. That's not a quote, but that's what he got across, that I get it last year. He doesn't get it now, as we know. But that the test of the Bills post-Diggs, like what his loss would mean, and really, you'd have to score to win, maybe a huge win, what they were without him, even though they ended up having kind of the same season in the end. Still, like, they survived, to say the least. So, not sure there's anything more to figure out there. I think it will be, maybe interesting if he comes back this year and New England's pretty good and mm-hmm. he's making a big impact there, which is probably a lot to predict. The Patriots to make the playoffs at BetMGM plus 155. 100 wins, 155.
Yeah.
The Jets to make the playoffs plus 475. That's huge odds. Miami plus 150. Almost identical to New England to make it. So all the Bills opponents in the AFC East are favored to miss the playoffs. The Bills to make it are minus 650. The odds are the same for the Bills to make the playoffs as they are for the Jets to miss. That's not bettable. I'm not betting any minus 650.
No
self-respecting person
never,
is betting that.
No, never. No, never. Even if I had money I didn't know what to do with, I don't think I'm making that bet. And even I'm 90% sure it's going to win. Those aren't odds I want to
live. Not good
with.
Enough odds.
Yeah. I do think, not thinking about it competitively from a Bills standpoint, right? I think, somewhat objectively as I can look at it, I think a Diggs bet is worth making for New England. It was yep. worth trying. They are, they're in the place that the Bills were in when they went and got Diggs themselves. They've got this young quarterback that's a little bit of raw, wild horse in him. So we got work to do with him. And, but the athlete is in there. The arm is in there. Competitiveness and the leadership stuff seems like it's in there. And I already said, I think Diggs had a positive impact on the organization while he was here and on Allen specifically. And so if I'm New England and I'm looking at receiver options, like Mike Giardi was saying last segment, sure, you wanted to shoot higher, but, some guys didn't even make it to market like you would have hoped. I think Diggs is I would make that bet. If I were rooting for New England, I'd be like, all right, I don't know that that's going to work, but I'll throw $5 on it. That to me, it's worth going to the window and putting that slip in, I think, for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking forward to week 8 when the Patriots visit.
Okay.
In 2025. That's what I'm working schedule. That's what I have right now. I am putting at New England week 1 Monday night.
Wow.
I think that's a pretty nice little game. Bills at Patriots. I think that's not amazing for a primetime game, but neither was Bills Jets. The Rodgers storyline that year was, I'm sure, a lot of that. Is New England that interesting? No. But Vrabel is interesting. The Diggs piece, May. It's not terrible. And then, you know, just get to the middle here. You just kind of fill them in.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going week 8.
Well, take your time and don't rush to fill them in. Like, give it some thought. Maybe a good idea will present itself. You just need to let it breathe.
Christmas, I'm already kind of in a box here.
Oh, yeah.
Because this time I'm going week to week, like chronologically. But I know week 17 is Christmas, and I'm expecting the Bills to play. And I think at home, Hallmark movie, snow,
yeah,
the early game of 3. Goodell, by the way, has said it's going to be 3 games every year,
right,
on Christmas.
Regardless of what day of the week it falls on.
So I used up a couple of the other games. I've got Tampa here on Christmas. How interesting is Tampa Bay as an opponent? A little bit, right?
Sorry,
looking at the camera?
I'm making a face.
That bad?
I'm making a
face. I'm not putting Kansas City there. I'm not putting Philadelphia there. Too good.
Yeah.
Kansas City played on Christmas last year. Kansas City said they want to play on Christmas every year.
Yeah, they wanted to be like the Detroit Lions or Dallas Cowboys of Christmas Day, even hosting it every year.
Yes.
And the commissioner said, yeah, no. Get bent.
Really?
I don't think he said get bent, but he said we're not doing that. We're gonna rotate it. It's gonna be different teams or whatever, different hosts.
Would you take that to mean they and the Ravens, Steelers, Texans all will not play on Christmas this year? Would you take that to mean that?
Yeah. Yeah.
All new teams?
Yeah, I didn't really think of it that way, but yeah. That would make sense to avoid giving fan bases and the rest of the country the same show to an extent, or half of the same show that they gave them last year. Mm-hmm. I also think the Bills are going to play a Christmas Day game. They feel right for it. The Hallmark piece, I think, is a key piece. Like, I don't know how promotionally interwoven Hallmark is with any of the league partners broadcast wise.
No.
If I knew that they were like, they're, Google could tell me this probably in a few seconds, but I'm just not going to do it right this second. But if they're like in bed with, like if they're owned by NBC Universal or something, then bank it. Right? If they're partnered with any of the broadcast entities, and there's so many of them now, but I mean the traditional ones, not Prime, not Netflix, right? But, ESPN, Fox, CBS, NBC, if they're part, they almost have to be. If they're any kind of a network channel, they have to be.
Yeah, and these movies would tell you, like, the NFL brand is in the movie. Chiefs and Bills, like the Bills are this one, Hallmark.
Okay, right.
So they'd have to be some kind of partner.
Then you're getting a Bills Christmas game.
This Bills Christmas movie is not going to be like only the Buffalo football team. Like we used to have to talk.
Right. See, I didn't pay enough attention to the Chiefs one to know that they used the names and everything.
I'm assuming this.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I'm assuming this. I mean, the Bills they're in on it.
Right.
It has their blessing.
Yeah.
You'd expect a Hallmark movie to be especially controversial, and you wonder if the team would sign off on it. But I think in this case, the team is. They're a part of the project. They're a partner.
But then you can bank that then. They're getting Christmas Day.
Bills.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Tampa, though.
I mean, there's no rivalry.
Yeah.
But they're pretty good. Who do you want there instead? You want to put like a massive game there? I don't. I just want it to be pretty good.
I would sooner expect a massive game than I would Tampa.
But Tampa's a playoff team.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
You would sooner expect the Bills' Christmas Day opponent, and it can't be the Chiefs, Texans, or Ravens, or Steelers? Because those teams played last year, you're saying?
Chiefs could be good, though. If the Hallmark movie is about the Bills, I don't know what role the Chiefs play in that, if any. But if the Chiefs are a part of that?
You can't do that. You're not putting the Chiefs and Bills on Christmas Day against each other. I shouldn't be so certain.
I think my instinct is that you're probably right, but I just, because of...
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. all season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The movie thing, I don't want to rule it out.
Kansas City will be here week 12. I'm writing it down.
Tampa. Merry Christmas from Buffalo. Here's Tampa.
Sunday night or 425? Tampa. It's know. That bad. It's an interesting team. It's Emeka Ibuka.
I know. It's just still, I don't know. It just doesn't, just doesn't land on me. Well.
They've never played, you're thinking to yourself.
The Bills and the Bucks have never played. Yes, that's right. I forgot all about that overtime game from 3-4 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. So do I. I forgot about that, too.
That was a great game.
I think about awful 1988 loss, 10-5. Bills playing the Bucks. I think about that game in 1988. And the O.J. Howard
game. I knew you were going to say
where the Bills beat the Bucks at home. Game where Tywan Jones had his helmet ripped off, right, in the end zone. Is that him?
I'm not. I remember him getting a gruesome head injury on a kickoff.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So I know about the end zone. But
that's what I meant.
Okay.
And Bills Buccaneers. Yeah, that's kind of like those are the. I don't think about the Brady game. I don't think about him playing for them. Was that 3 years? It was, right?
He played three seasons there?
I think so.
Sure.
They lost to the Rams in the playoffs. They lost to Dallas in the playoffs.
And they won it. They won the, okay.
So it's at least three.
All right. It can't be more than three.
It was exactly three.
Okay.
Started every game for 3 years.
At his age.
Led the league.
What a marvel.
In attempts and completions in both of his final two seasons at ages 44 and 45. At age 44, led the league also in yards and touchdown passes. 5,316 yards at age 44 for Brady with the Bucs. 13-4 record.
Damn.
Is that good?
Yeah, but could they run it at all?
Is that could he run?
Could they run?
How many yards did Tom Brady rush for in his career? 23 seasons. Did he get to 1,000 yards rushing?
No. No, I'm going to guess that number is over under 499 yards.
1,123.
Oh, what a horrible job by me.
It's like 4 yards per game. For his career.
That sounds like a lot for him.
It does. Yeah, one good run. It's not even that good.
Right.
4 yards per game, 333 games, 1,123 yards, 28 touchdowns.
Is that factoring in all the kneel downs?
It is. And there were a lot of them, probably.
I would think, yeah.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR. One more on Brady. He's first all-time in games started in NFL history, but sixth in games played.
George Blanda?
Yeah, George Blanda is one of the top five. Yes, that's actually right. Can you figure out how you would be first in started, but sixth in played? Who are all these guys that played more games than he did but didn't start those games? Kickers.
Okay.
I guess kickers don't get credit for starts, even though literally sometimes they're kicking the ball is the very start of the game.
Yeah, right.
But like Morten Andersen has the most games played in NFL history, 382. But I don't know if he gets credit for any starts. So.
And Blandon did some kicking, too, in addition to
That's
playing
right.
quarterback.
That's right.
So I'm looking for long-tenured kickers.
Oh, do you want to guess the others? Okay.
Kind of.
One's one of his teammates.
Adam Vinatieri.
Mm-hmm.
Jan Stenerud.
No.
Yeah, I'm out. I was only going to give myself one miss.
It's a minefield. One miss and you're out.
Yep.
Gary Anderson.
That was the next name out of my mouth.
And Jeff Fiegels.
Would have never gotten to Jeff Fiegels.
A punter.
Yeah.
352 games punted. The Bills have punted some games, I'll tell you.
That's a lot of punting.
The Bills have punted more games than 352. Not really. We will take a break. Haven't gotten to the hockey playoffs yet, but some good stuff. And the Leafs Senators go tonight, one of four games tonight. 803-0550 for your calls. We're going to talk Bills, draft, some of the things we've been on today. The schedule. Schedule month. We all celebrate, right? The month of the NFL schedule. What's one thing you want from it? Last year, the stadium, that makes it even a little bit more interesting to try to figure out, strategy, if that's the word. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR.